welcome back to Day the Authority Party Line Talk Show. I'm your host, Len Stacy, and in studio with me are Jessica O from KSCS, and we also have Lauren McCumber, who's sharing her story with us. And I guess prior to going to break, we were talking a bit about, you know, what are the things that that you had to change, and what were some of the points. And I guess I had to ask a question. Did you have previous attempts at quitting, or was this the first time it came into your mind that you needed to do something?
I did have previous attempts, only because, like you were saying, like, were there times that things got out of control? Well, things got out of control, and I made an ass out of myself. So moments like that, I would abstain for like a few months.
Okay.
And the last time I did that before I quit, I think it was the summer of 2012 or 2013, and I took the whole summer off, and I really started getting into Reiki, going for Reiki sessions, and that's really when the light bulb kind of went on for me. That I could do my own healing, you know, that I could work on myself, that I could work through these traumas that I went through, and that there was light at the end of the tunnel, that I didn't always have to carry it, right? Especially the death of my grandmother, you know, that was just so life-shattering. But the Reiki was definitely helpful, and someone that was also very helpful in my recovery and reconnection back to my culture was like Emmy Mitchell. You know, she did this Reawakening the Spirit workshop. I think I've taken it 3 times now, but I love Emmy. Like, Emmy just, she was so empowering. She made me realize that the power was in my hands to take on my own healing. And, you know, she would always say the people that you want to go to for help are the people who have been through it and have gotten through it. And that was always my motivation, like, well, maybe this was given to me so that I could help others through it. And that's where the Reiki came in, and, you know, opening up my own Reiki shop and working with people.
For anybody who doesn't know what Reiki is, can you give us a little?
A lot of people ask them. That's totally cool. So Reiki is really just a form of energy healing. It's not like our traditional healing, what our medicine people do, what our seers do. It's more of like an Eastern based form of energy work. I think it comes from the Buddhists, and then someone told me that the Buddhists got it from India, so it has like a long history. But basically, the Reiki practitioner is just channeling the universal energy through the client to help them balance their chakras, to ground energy, and just to give them overall wellness and health. A good overall, I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Sounds right.
It sounds okay. About right.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds about right. It's very helpful. It's very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, don't think it is, but if you've gone, it does. You feel so much lightweight.
Yep.
After.
And yep.
I was a skeptic the first time I went, but I said, I'm going to try this, you know, it's something to help. And it really did.
Yeah. And for some people it helps, and for some people it doesn't. Like, everyone's journey is very different when it comes to healing. So I really do recommend trying everything, because I did sweats. I did Emmy Mitchell's Reawakening the Spirit, Moon Ceremony, Reiki. I've always loved different forms of spirituality, so I was always reading something, like Deepak Chopra, The Secret, you know, like, mm-hmm. that type of stuff. For me, I've always been spiritually focused, and that has always been my motivation to better myself.
Does that help you now, like, in terms of maintaining the sobriety, is keeping going on and keep finding out new things about yourself, finding out new things?
Well, I know that the work that I do, I wouldn't be able to do if I was drinking, so
yeah.
That's my motivation to stay, you know, away from it, because you can't be practicing a healing lifestyle or a healing, I don't even know if it's healing, but you can't be helping people if you're abusing. That's my philosophy. Like, if you're not dealing with your own stuff, how are you supposed to help other people deal with their stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's the philosophy.
That's the bottom
I'm working
line.
From.
Yeah. Okay.
And the way for me to deal with my stuff is to continue with my meditation, to continue with my readings, with learning more about Reiki, essential oils, that type of stuff.
So you've gone beyond, like, you're into almost every other kinds of things you could get your hands on, right?
In a way, whatever I'm attracted to, I will definitely explore. I'm not someone to say like, well, I heard about that, so I'm going to learn about. It's more like, because I was a non-believer in essential oils.
Right.
I thought it was crap. No offense to anyone. I don't know. And then one night I couldn't sleep, and my mom gave me this bottle of lavender from like Costco like a month ago. We went half on it. I'm like, okay, whatever, I'll use it. I never did. It sat in my drawer. And one night I could not sleep, and I'm like, well, I heard lavender works. Sprinkled some on my pillow, passed out, and I woke up in the morning like, what is this witchcraft? It works. So that's how I got into essential oils.
Yeah. So I guess living this new lifestyle, what makes you proud?
What makes me proud? I'm really not proud. I don't mind you using the word. I'm not offended by it. But I'm more like humbled.
Humbled. That's like a good word, humbled, though. It is. It's a good word. Yeah.
Because I never feel like I am doing something extraordinary. For me, I'm almost jealous of the people who can continue drinking and not have a problem with it. You know, I'm like, you do your thing. Don't be envious of what I'm going through. I wish I could be doing what you're doing and just living like a relaxed, typical life, you know? Sorry, I lost track.
It's okay. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, what are things that make you proud, you know?
And,
or humbled, I like that word, yeah.
I just like that I'm able to take what I went through and to be able to help other people. Really, at the end of the day, that's the bottom line. That gives me the best feeling at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the question is now, what are goals for yourself? What are things that you want to do?
Well, right now, as I mentioned way earlier, I'm working with a collective, and what we want to do is we want to raise awareness on addictions, on sobriety, on substance abuse. And this is one of our first parts, you know, one of our first actions. And for me, that's definitely a goal that keeps me going, that keeps me motivated. My Reiki keeps me motivated. My job at Vanier keeps me motivated. Like, a lot of things keep me motivated, and those are goals within themselves. Just to talk about the group just a little bit, it's called Skatne Dedwayewada, which means together we will heal. And I'm just going to read off here because I don't want to get it wrong. We have a website. It's very basic. It's just the beginning, but it's togetherwewillheal.org. And we are an inclusive collective based in Kahnawake, focused on raising awareness about substance abuse and addictions within all Ungwehue communities. We're not just going to limit ourselves to Kahnawake, especially if we're going to be on the internet with a website. So our goal is to provide services and programming dedicated to promoting healthy lifestyles through use of holistic and alternative healing methods. The first step in that is basically we're going to do a blog. All of the people that you've heard on the talk show, we're going to start working with them to start releasing their stories on this website so that it can reach other Indigenous communities. Because I love what the Soberest Sexy guy is doing. I always forget his name, but like, I love his
Michael
video.
Scott.
Michael
yes,
Scott.
Yes, I just drew a blank. I was like,
yeah, I love what he's doing. And I see a lot of other people on Instagram, Facebook doing similar things, using their stories to raise awareness. And we just sort of wanted to take part in that, because speaking with Ryan, he said, you know, it's one thing to hear an Anishinaabe person share their healing story, but it's a whole other thing to hear another Ganyankahaga person share their story. So we're kind of trying to fill in those voices and to be those voices and to help reach other people.
It's interesting, because that was when Jessica had mentioned to the show some of the things she wanted to do, and I'm there. That's fine by me. It's been a very long time. I've worked in addictions over 30-something years ago, and one of the things we would try to get people to come on during Addictions Awareness Month or Awareness Week, and we had different people come from AA, GA, and all, you know, whoever come, and we could never get somebody from the community, and we thought once that would happen, it would be profound, because, and not everybody would relate to Lauren's story, Luann's story, or Jessica's story. different people would connect with different things. And, you know, and it's what's really enlightening is the chatter that comes out after the show. Mm-hmm. People comment, people give feedback, people call me, people call Jessica, you know, so it's like,
stop
so
at the market, you know,
I want to tell you that show you had, I mean, people are posting mm-hmm. on Facebook, light bulbs went off. And to me, that's what's important in doing this,
I realized a whole other level of this is not just for people who want to look at their own relationship with alcohol or substance use, but also family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So when you have that person in your family who you love and you see the behavior that they're engaged in, and it really only makes you ask questions and you might not understand what's going on or why certain patterns are, you know, playing out the way they are. And, you know, if we can share more of these stories and just to bring, you know, family and friends some comfort also, or, you know, some understanding for them, then, you know, we're still on our way to healing in that aspect.
And I think one more other comment that was shared with me from someone in the community was the fact that there are more and more people who are choosing not to mm-hmm. use alcohol, period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because of having children. And people aren't afraid to say it anymore. Before, it was such a taboo. If you went out and you didn't, well, how come you're not drinking? Yeah. How come you're not doing this? How come you're not doing that? Oh, you're boring. Oh, you know, and people would say that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because when I was going through my drinking phase, I would have a couple of friends who would, you know, stop, and it would make me feel uncomfortable because I would question, well, do I have a problem? I don't know. I think that's a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, again, it comes down to, well, is this, you know, is this getting in the way of just having a normal functioning life? Right.
And, exactly.
You know, we're not doing these shows to like point fingers at anybody or make anybody feel like, you know, maybe they have a problem, or trying to say that, you know, that everybody needs to rethink what's going on in their life. But, you know, if there's something you hear in somebody's story and, you know, you do have these questions and you do want to reach out to talk to somebody, or, you know, you're looking for resources, you know, the resources are there. You can always call KSCS. It's 450-632-6880. You can also go on the website. And if you go under Addictions Response Services, there are links in there that you can follow to different websites, or, you know, different resources where you can learn more for yourself. And Lauren.
Yeah. So I just want to plug again, the collective that I'm working with, Skatne Tidwayewada, Together We Will Heal. You can check out our website. It's www.wewillhealtogether.org. We're a nonprofit. We're looking to raise funds to help with the articles and the blogs that we want written. We're going to really focus on it just for the next year, you know, just to keep mm-hmm. the dialogue going, mm-hmm. because this is amazing. The stories being shared on K103, and we would love to extend that to you know, the interwide web into the Twitterverse. So if anybody wants to check it out, if anyone wants more information on it, we'll be posting our first story, I believe, in March. We have a partnership going with Yuri Waze. Where Greg is going to write some of our articles, some of our feature stories. So, you know, just be looking forward to it. I think it's a great initiative, and I'm happy to be a part of it with mm-hmm. the other collective members, Leora Charles, Davis Montour, and Ryan Montour.
It's pretty good. It's a good movement again. Nice. And it's nice to see grassroots, you know, coming from people, you know, who chose to change their lives.
And also these extended relationships with other organizations like Yuri Waze is going to help out, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we're moving to a point in the community where everybody's saying, let's talk about this. Let's really, you know, get it out in the open and, you know, not stigmatize either addiction, but also we're not going to stigmatize sobriety either.
No.
Because there's so much, I've said it before, you know, it takes a lot of strength and it takes a lot of insight to really, you know, take those steps to say, you know what, I want to live a sober lifestyle.
And I think something that Lauren said earlier, too, is, you know, the spirituality part and the missing spirit, and that keeps coming up time and time again, mm-hmm. you know, that missing spirit. And the fact that we are relearning our mm-hmm. culture, our language, again, playing that part in there because we were away from it for so long, mm-hmm. you know, and, yeah. And it's exciting.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've gone through genocide, intergenerational trauma, and I don't think we're aware that we're carrying it. Like, I wasn't aware until I took a course on Haudenosaunee people at Concordia. The light bulb completely went on there, and I was like, wow, this is deep. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's none of our faults.
No.
We didn't know how to cope with what happened to us. We're just carrying so many layers, and part of unpacking those layers is by practicing our culture again, by speaking our language again, by doing those things that were once forbidden.
Yes.
You mm-hmm. know? Getting rid of that shame.
And using things as other substances mm-hmm. to replace, to heal the hurt, to heal the pain.
Not to cover it up.
Not to cover it up, you know? And, yeah. And that's kind of like that cycle, right?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've had a lot of our guests say the same thing, you know, that, you know, using substances either made it so that they didn't have to feel or changed the way they were feeling, right? So that they didn't have to deal with their emotions. They didn't have to confront what was going on with, you know, the different relationships in their lives. They didn't really have to ever do that reflection because it was just easier to drink until you didn't have to worry about those things right. anymore, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's why I keep saying it's, you know, it's taking that moment and really, you know, deciding I have to deal with this, I have to deal with that, or I have to learn the skills,
mm-hmm.
you know? I have to be able to start naming my emotions. What am I feeling? Yeah. Is this a bad thing? Do I have the courage to really live through this right now?
Yeah.
And, you know, if we share more of those stories, I think, you know, for a lot of people, it's just going to be helpful and healing.
Lauren?
I just want to thank you all for having me on today. I want to thank KSCS for making this possible. I want to thank Ryan Montour for spearheading this right. and for taking part in the collective. I look forward to forming, or the collective looks forward to forming more partnerships in the community to help spread awareness on this issue. We're coming for you, KSCS. We'll be in touch.
Thank you so much, ladies. Again, it went by very quick, and I appreciate the honesty and Lauren for sharing your story. Coming up tomorrow on the Day de Watarda Party Line Talk Show, we'll have Daniel Gagne from CN along with Corinne Delormier from Dewa Dzuni Dzogchen. And in the second part of the show, we'll have Connie Malush, and we'll be talking about the women's group and where we're at in the upcoming meeting. Up next with the 1 o'clock news is Paul Grafe. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Onegi Wahi. What can we do to help you?